Hello, friends. Welcome to the Logistics of Logistics podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. Thank you so much for joining us today. On the Logistics of Logistics, I talk to experts in logistics and transportation, warehousing, fulfillment, supply chain, and of course, technology. And during these interviews, I'm always the one asking the dumb questions. I ask the dumb questions so you don't have to. Today's topic is AI-driven sales and marketing with my friend Jason Jimenez-Vanover. Jason is the CEO and founder of JCI Marketing, a freight-focused content marketing agency that specializes in working with transportation, logistics, and supply chain companies. Jason and the JCI team are continuously looking for ways to add brand value, awareness, and market share. And now they have built JCAI, an AI tool built for the specific purpose of creating high-quality content. If you want to learn more about AI-driven sales marketing, please take a listen. How's it going, Jason?
I'm doing well today, Joe. How are you doing?
Doing great. Please introduce yourself and your company where you're calling from today.
Yeah, sure. My name is Jason Jimenez-Vanover. I am the CEO and founder of JCI Marketing, a freight-focused marketing agency. We're located right outside of San Antonio, right along the I-35 corridor. We make a running joke that my backyard is 50 feet from I-35. No matter what systems are going on or anything in the world, I'm able to peek outside and see what's going on down here in South Texas.
Very nice. So you said freight-focused marketing company. Please explain, what do you do and who do you serve?
Yeah, so at marketing agencies, they're all over the place, but we are a marketing agency where our passion and our niche is within the supply chain and logistics industry. Started back about 20 years ago as a teenager, that makes me sound younger than I actually am. Started back about 20 years ago, getting into logistics and supply chain, enjoying that. I love the fact that the supply chain is the one industry that reaches into all others. And over time, it morphed into where I found a way to combine my love of logistics with my other love, writing. And it just was a natural progression into creating what became JCI Marketing, a freight-focused marketing agency where we work directly with freight brokers, logistics management companies, SaaS solutions developers. We run the gambit. So it's definitely an exciting industry, and I'm thrilled to be here and share a bit about what we are up to.
Yep. So you have a new service offering, a part of your business. Please explain what that is. We've talked about it a lot the other day, and then we didn't talk about it today. We talked about everything else, but it's fascinating. So talk a little bit about your new service offering.
Definitely. So whenever you think about working with a marketing agency, there are traditional multiple large barriers to entry. You have very high implementation costs, extended onboarding, you have these extended content production cycles, and it just can be a bit of a nightmare. We at JCI Marketing knew that our expertise, our experts, and our team could only stretch so far. So we set out to do something about it. We took our human first knowledge and experience and began building what is now the JCAI. The JCAI is an AI tool that is unlike any other on the market. It is not a chatbot. We even refer to it as not an AI. It is actually an AI tool that is based on our own expertise, our own content, our own randomized brainstorming sessions. And then on top of that, we put technology on top of it. I just said on top of it twice, to create content at significantly lower costs, eliminating those traditional barriers to entry, and putting control back in the hands of companies that need marketing the most, those that typically have limited budgets.
Yep. And I can tell you this, I talk to a lot of marketers, and I guess I am kind of part of marketing. When I need to write something now, I find myself quickly going to Google Gemini and saying, so maybe you gave me your bio and I was going to write something about you. I would cut from your bio, cut, copy, paste, and then I want to rewrite it so you wouldn't say, you just shared my bio. and you become a prompt engineer, right? And the challenge is, and I think everybody I talk to says something like this, it saves you a ton of time. It's really fast. So it's great to use Google Gemini or ChatGPT, any of these tools. By the way, I have a ChatGPT account that I pay for. It's $9 a month. I have not been able to get into it in 3-5 months because they say I'm using the wrong browser. Like I've been using it. And it's funny because there's no way the AI is so smart, it's never going to let me in. They're going to collect my $9. But anyway, when you're creating an article, you always end up having to tweak it. And we'll get to this human versus AI. And this is what you created, something that is, I call a human layer, a context layer that makes sense. It is really challenging right now to say, I'll trust the AI to do the whole thing because it will write something that will be directionally correct. But at some point, there's going to be something in there. You go, why the hell did they put that in there?
Yeah, exactly. And I mentioned earlier, 20 years writing and going over all of this. And very much over that time, I noticed that there are certain habits we make as writers, certain things that we like to do. For example, I prefer writing a conclusion last so that I know where I need to end up. There are other people that we've known that they write by the seat of their pants. Same can apply to whether you're building an SEO strategy. It's where does that creative element fall in and how can you make it work? And when the AI tools, the chatbots that we've all come to know, love, draw on when we need a random idea or questions for how do I make the ingredients in my pantry turn into something that tastes good? We've all gotten used to the, oh, that's not the right answer to do this. Here's another prompt. Here's that. Here's this. And next thing you know, when you're creating a ton of content in a sales and marketing context, you've simply moved from being a writer into a prompt engineer. Sure, you're saving time, but I don't want you to have to learn to be a prompt engineer now on top of a writer.
Yeah, this is a great tool. We'll come back and talk in more in depth about it because that's why you're here today. But I've used to say it for years, I said it because I was a blogger and then I wrote a million articles as a ghostwriter too. I would say to people that the hardest part of marketing is writing. The rest of it, the going in and brainstorming and saying, this is our competitive advantage, this is our strategy, all that feels fairly like a fun conversation to have with your client. It's when they all leave and you have to sit down and write something is when it starts to be a really difficult job. AI's made it better, but it's not good enough. And we'll talk about why not in a minute. But first, tell us a little bit about you. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? Some career highlights before you started JCI Marketing.
Definitely. So I grew up in Lubbock, Texas. Texas Panhandle, great town. You go 15 miles in any direction and there's nothing for 120 miles. It was definitely a place where I had an opportunity to learn and expand my horizons. In high school, started taking advanced classes and everything. Got out of high school with a plan to attend college at Texas Tech. Had to shift that a little bit because I had too many credits from high school to transfer into what I wanted to do. Ended up in nursing for about a year and a half. Great time doing that, but quickly realized that I could make a bigger impact with creating the workbooks that we were using in classes versus doing it myself. Had the chance to get out, start working as a freelancer, did that for more than a decade, then eventually started forging the idea of JCI Marketing. At one point, I did make the decision, let's give the traditional employee role another go. I went to Freight Waves, was there with them for about 7.5 months, learned a lot, also learned that I am an entrepreneur and I cannot do that. That was really exciting. But before ending up at Freight Waves and everything, had a great go visiting and creating content for some big names, Global Trends, Cerasys. There's just so many. It's hard to remember everyone at this point. but it's always been a little bit hidden, I guess you could say, the life of a ghostwriter. But getting to the point of being able to not be afraid to get out and talk and see what's going on and really be a bit more visible. Oh, and then throughout all of that, working in, I did a lot of volunteer work in warehousing and dock management with some different places. Yeah,
for some charities. Freight Waves is a good place to start or whatever, be there. Just that experience is fantastic. And you mentioned being a ghostwriter. I know you guys still are doing a lot of content for your customers. And one of the things, I was a blogger for a long time. I wrote about whatever, and I hope to do that again soon. But one of the challenges I always have said is it's not easy to sit down and write. And I will say I was not a great writer. I'd say more prolific than anything. But every once in a while, you realize somebody will mention, oh, well, that article, as I talked to somebody the other day, and I recognized their name and I couldn't figure out why. And they go, remember, I used to send you articles about those, I would send you emails about the articles you wrote. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he said, this is a business owner. He said, you really impacted me here. And you start to realize like you have this impact that you don't always know about. One thing though, I wrote an article, ghostwritten, and it went viral. And that was, I think, one of the last ghostwritten things I did, because it was like, it just kept going and going. And there was like thousands of people. Oh, it keeps getting shared. And I was like, no one knows I wrote that.
Reminds me a bit about that, of the song that was in The Greatest Showman, Never Enough. It was sung by the lady who played, I can't remember her name, I think it was something Ferguson, in that movie. And she's the opera singer in there and singing it and everything. And then it turned out it was actually ghost sung. I don't know if that's a word, but she lip synced. That's what it is. She lip synced, and Lauren Alfred actually recorded the song.
That's not new anymore. This seems like be the norm for music. But well, anyway, when and why did you start JCI? When did you say, I think I have a better way, or I think I see a hole in the market where we can fill?
Yeah, so it started to evolve when I realized that there were many companies that needed help, but they weren't really sure where to start. They might have worked with a few different agencies in the past, and the rules were too rigid, or the prices were just too high. And I'm not trying to pitch a cost-effective approach with us or anything, but what I am saying is I noticed that there were people that sometimes they just wanted someone to call and say, hey, I have this idea. Am I out of my mind, or am I good? And so we really started forging it as a consultancy, but then we kept up with the content production. Then over time, we needed to augment our internal staff with AI tools. And we started developing it, building it out to support our internal goals itself. And then one day we just realized what we had built to make sure our processes worked well had a much larger implication. And we thought, let's give it to them. Let's make it to where they can use it.
I love it.
So we just wanted to be there. I had those calls where they were like, yes, we need this. We need to do this. Unfortunately, there's not any money left in the coffers this month or this quarter. And we wanted to do something that could be impactful. So that's where we're in supply chain. I was very much the type of person that when it came down to it, I was like, okay, I'm not going to bill you for this, but let's do this. And I wanted to eliminate that without going bankrupt myself. That makes sense.
And by the way, anybody who's listening who might be a freight broker or sales guys might be saying, oh, you don't know how difficult it is in our job. We always have to be the lowest price. One of the things that marketers can say is, and we had this conversation the other day, sometimes when I was still doing some writing for other people, they would say, oh, I can get an article for $30 or $100 on Fiverr or Upwork or whatever. And by the way, not putting any of that down, I've used those services.
Yes. That's where I started almost basically.
But I will say when I was writing, I would say, I'm never going to be the cheapest, but I also... was born and raised in supply chain, and then I ran a logistics company, and I wrote hundreds of articles. So you don't need to help me understand the business. And by the way, I always would also push to have a point of view. A lot of times you can create content that is, as I call it, oatmeal. It just is, everybody can tolerate oatmeal, but no one craves oatmeal. When I came down to San Antonio, you're not going to say, "Hey, Joe, I know this great oatmeal place we can go to." You're like, "No, we're going to go to great barbecue or great."
We're going to go get tacos. What are you talking about?
And so creating great content, you have to have a point of view. It ideally touches on that competitive edge your company has. And then you need someone who understands the business. It's not a cheap thing. You can't find somebody, by the way, right now I can go and write an article about anything under the sun because I know how to use Google and I know how to use ChatGPT or Google Gemini. I can get pretty close because about you asked me to write about medicine, I can write about it. But I don't have a point of view because I'm not in medicine. And that's the problem. And so a lot of times people want expertise. They want a great article. They want to pay someone like JCI or some other company, but they don't have the budget. So this is a place where you're going to help them get some of that great content without the massive budget. We'll get to that in a sec. First, let's talk about content marketing in general. I think of content marketing as blogs, blog posts, articles, whatever you want to call them. Maybe it's video. Maybe it's a podcast like this. What else would you consider to be content marketing?
Yeah, so content marketing can really run into any type of material that is created, typically in the digital world. However, it's not to say our print is entirely dead. Print is obsolescent, but it's not obsolete. Content marketing, you have social media, you have the SEO strategy itself, you have that technical side. You also have, you mentioned the blogs, you can have infographics, case studies, the social proof of what you're doing. You can have basically anything, but there's always been an interesting trick to it. I've told many of our clients that everything that can be said has been said. It is up to the marketers to figure out a new way to do it to power sales. And that's one thing that I think that so many of us forget is marketing is the other side of the coin to sales. We may not necessarily be able, we may not be the most comfortable people to get out and say, calling these clients that have sent us their information and push. But whenever we have our hands on our tools, whether that's marketing automation software, the JCAI, the CRM, building newsletters, whatever the case may be, having access to those content marketing capabilities allows us to light the fire so that sales can really stoke it and turn it into something amazing.
And by the way, sales, and I can say this because I am a marketer, this podcast, in fact, it helps people know who I am. When I talk to people trying to sell them something, they know who I am a lot of times. Not every time, and that does not necessary, but it makes it a lot easier if you create great content at your company and then they go, "Oh, I know you guys." And what we also know is there is a dark funnel, and the dark funnel are all those people who are watching your company, reading your content, but they don't download the white paper. They don't download the case study because they don't want to give you their email. They listen to you on a podcast. They might be connected to you on LinkedIn and they'll watch your posts. They are watching because they know, I want to get rid of my 3PL. I want to get rid of my warehousing company. We need to make a change, but we're not ready to engage yet because you might not be the right guy. So we have to create that great content that lets them get to know us. And then at some point, hopefully they step out of that dark funnel into the sales funnel and say, "Okay, Jason, let's talk." And sometimes they show up 80, 90% sold. You just have to not say anything dumb, which is hard for me, but.
You're talking to a person who you at one point did a cold call and the first words out of my mouth is, "I'm cold calling you." I was like, "Oh dear, that was about 6, 7 years ago." But yeah, your content is your opportunity to take them on a journey, to influence them so that by the time they are ready, when they actually do fill out that form, they are ready to sign that day. Traditionally, you had an interruptive experience. You had to interrupt what they were doing. That's the premise of billboards. That's the premise of outbound marketing. Content marketing seeks to transition it to where they come to you. And when they are coming to you, not only do you have the reassurance that you're going to get more sales closed, but you're also able to be more selective about those that you choose to take on. Because you are able to look at it and say, this is what will be best. This is what is best for myself. This is what's best for this client. And there might be some where they're not fully ready, but they just need that conversation. But at the end of the day, you want them to trust you as a person. Because remember, there is a fundamental truth that gets swept under the rug time and time again in B2B marketing. We can all sit and say, we're B2B, doesn't matter. People sell to people and people want people. And if you don't have that people element first, something is going to get mixed up.
If they don't get to know and trust you somehow, they're not buying from you. And I always say my goal on my podcast is I want my audience to get to know and trust my guests. And I want to talk about the problems my guest solves. And ideally, somebody listens and says, yes, that is what I want. I like this guy. I know this guy. I trust this guy. Relate to him on some level. He described a problem that I have, and I think he can solve it. That is the essence of a lot of the marketing we do. And we talked about this before we hit record. There are 28,000 freight brokers, 27,000 freight brokers. Some are home. Some are big tech-centric ones. Some are smaller that are mom-pa. Then there's the tech-centric ones. There's ones with VC money. There's ones that have been around for three generations. The challenge sometimes is creating a message that makes some sense. And so you and I started a freight brokerage today, Jason, and we'll use freight brokerage as an example.
JJ brokerage.
Yeah, there you go. We would say we have to find, we probably wouldn't even start it unless we felt like there was something we could do different and better. It would have to have something around it that made it. And it's really hard to say there's lots of freight brokers, but we're better than the other ones. Why? You got three guys working for you because of our technology. You bought that off the shelf because of, I don't know what, we're better. Trust me. And when I was still doing websites and marketing, it was very difficult to create a message and create that overall that says, here's why you should work with us. And so we talked about content. The content is reinforcing a bigger message that is, this is what makes us different and better. This is why you should call us. And it is not easy in this business. So if I have a warehousing business, say, you have no idea how much better we are. Of all the warehouses in Miami, we're the best. Why? We have a WMS. Everyone has WMS. We have engaged workers. Everyone can say that, right? And it's challenging. You have to come up with something. I don't know what that is. You're the marketer, Jason, but it is important that you have something that makes you different and better, and that the content you're creating aligns to that.
Definitely. We follow the EOS methodology, and it talks about a capability.
What is that?
So the entrepreneurial operating system, it is a structure for running a business and successfully scaling it. We've been using it now for about 2 years. One of the tenets in that is identifying the three unique characteristics of your business. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that each one on its own is unique, but rather it means that those three things, when combined with your core values, truly create something unique. So, for example, at JCI Marketing, our first one is white glove marketing. We take the time to figure out what is going to work right. And if something goes wrong, we pick up the phone and we talk or text or whatever. Firsthand knowledge. We get what you do in logistics. You don't have to worry about if we're talking and you say, oh yeah, NavTrack or this or that. We're going to instantly know what it is you're talking about. And then the last bit being that data-driven strategy, that continuous flux of knowing like what is going on, how are we going to stay agile, and then what is going to be the thing that we can come up with that will truly create something different. I mentioned earlier that everything that can be said has been said. But there's a very important distinction to make, and it comes from one of my favorite authors and a quote from him, Mark Twain. And he says, the difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. And you can really do something amazing with a little bit of technology, a little bit of expertise. And when you have decades of expertise like you and I in this, we're able to look beyond it and say, these are the things that will really differentiate the lightning bug in your content to the lightning. Because at the end of the day, we all want to draw in cells. We want the lightning. We want those cells. And in order to do that, we need marketing to kickstart the process. Marketing is the lightning rod. Sales is going to channel it straight into where it needs to go. That was a lot of metaphors.
Building on that just a little bit, we all are consumers. We go to the grocery store, Walmart or Meijer, or wherever grocery store you're at, and we make decisions. And pay attention to how you make decisions as you're walking down those aisles. So many of the decisions we make are based on just, I always buy this, or I buy the generic beans because they're the same as the other beans, but I don't buy the generic laundry soap because Tide's better. Why? I don't know. My mom used Tide. Whatever, if you questioned yourself about all your purchases, you would go, at the end, I'm a completely emotional shopper. And that's what we all are. And I think when we think of our business decisions, we go, well, I'm not making emotional business decisions. Yeah, you probably are. And then you're probably trying to justify them with some data. And so when we're creating content, we're trying to touch a little bit of the emotional side that goes, oh, I like this guy. I like this gal. I like the writer. I like this whatever. And then they're going to use ideally some of their brain to make this decision, but a lot of it's driven by emotion. And that's why creating content is so important, because it helps you ideally strike a chord deeper and they go, oh, I just want to buy. I like this guy. By the way, think about these Apple phones. Apple is an emotional buy, right? I use an Android, and I think I joke that I'm not cool enough to have an Apple. But the people buying Apple think to themselves, oh, you have no idea how different and better I am because I have an Apple phone.
I was one of the first Apple iPhone users. I now use an Android.
Yeah, I just use Android because it's better.
Mine integrates with our tech stack more effectively because we use Google Workspace.
Yep. So let's switch gears. So we talked a little bit about creating content. And you said something a few times, which is there's everything that can be said has been said. And when you look at AI, we talked about using ChatGPT to create some content. It is never at this point. Maybe somebody listening 5 years from now will say something different. Thank you for listening 5 years from now.
Hey.
But AI, what it knows right now is what's on, there's that large language learning model, right? That's what
language model.
Yeah. So it is, it, what it knows is what's in that model. And where's that model from? It's from some store of information. Google, so it's basically Google, I'll say. So they have grabbed up all this information, stuff that has been written, things that have been said, and then AI regurgitates that, says, here you go. This is good content. Is it original? No, by definition, it can't be original because it's just putting out information that it got. Yep. And so it's just basically said, here you go, Joe. This is what the rest of the world thinks, right? And it's not enough. And by the way, if you're trying to write content for logistics or supply chain, transportation, freight brokers, whatever it is, there's a context, a human layer. So please talk about, first off, the AI layer and the human layer and how you help us bring it together.
Yeah. So whenever you think about the main chatbot tools out there, they are all using the same large language model. Depending on which tool you are using, which chatbot, that training data may have ended in 2022. It may be up through 2023, 2 weeks ago, or whatever it was. We had the Port of Baltimore disaster.
Collapse, yeah.
Yeah. So the AIs are not going to know that. They only know the information they are trained on. Where we stepped in was, over the time, we'd essentially created what would be considered like our own large language model based on not only content that was created, but content, half-baked content ideas, things that, you know, as we're running down the road, just different team members might have said, hey, this is an idea. We'll put it into what I used to call our Franken file, which was just random things that came to us throughout time. All of that information has value and can be used to power an AI tool. And that's what we did with the JCAI. We took that expertise and that engagement layer, put it first, then we put the large language models on top so that we're actually using that foundation to make sure that the content is meaningful. And then beyond that, the human layer, you need something a little bit different. And that's where with the JCAI, we actually get, when someone submits a request through the form, they actually have to provide that insight. Doesn't have to be pretty, doesn't have to be perfect, doesn't even have to be spelled correctly, unless you're using acronyms like TMS, WMS. No one wants to sit there and accidentally have a piece of content on a YMS versus a WMS. Having that specific structure in how we layered it allows us to create those nice tacos. Now, are they world-class tacos? I'd like to think so, but they still need a little bit of extra time. But the trick is making sure that you're able to get it faster. Whereas with our AI tools, we're able to create that SEO-ready blog or social media post in a minute, 10 minutes. And prompts, none of the back and forth, actually getting what you need so that you can create more content faster, better, more effectively, and without, frankly, creating more oatmeal.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. Right now, Google, we use search engine optimization. And that's how we get found. By the way, I'll say pre-internet, if I was a third-party logistics company, and I, the only way I would reach out to people was I'd make phone calls, right? So I reach out, and if they say, are you a specialist in automotive? Yeah, they can't check my website. I can say, yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what we specialize in. The next guy say, hey, can you do reefer? Do you got? Oh, yeah, that's what we do. I can say anything I want because they can't look at LinkedIn. They can't look at my website. So in a lot of ways, companies didn't have to specialize. You could say anything you want. Your sales guys could all sell differently. Now, if I'm a cold chain company, if I'm a food company, and I say I need a cold chain expert, I expect to go on LinkedIn and look at how many employees they have. So if they say, oh, we're a billion-dollar company, I go, you have 8 employees on LinkedIn, right? This, I can check you on that. But also, I went to your website. Doesn't it say one word about cold chain? So now we have to create great content. And Google has played a big role in that. When I type in cold chain company Miami, they help me find a whole bunch of companies. The challenge I think we're going to run into here soon is with everybody creating twice as much content using tools like ChatGPT or Google Gemini and others, we're able to create just a whole bunch of content that maybe looks good on SEO, but has no new insight, no new value to the reader. And I know I've been exposed to this already. I've seen videos that had some sort of AI created it. And then the voiceover is clearly this virtual thing. And I go, wait a sec. This is just rehashed garbage from the internet. It's not adding any new insights. And so Google at some point is going to say, you're getting downgraded for creating garbage. And so I think we're going to have to bring a human point of view. We're going to have to bring new insights to this. Otherwise, we're going to get punished by Google. We all love the thing where we create content and we get good leads to hand off to the sales team. But the game is going to change very quickly because the tools just got really good. Not even before we talk about JCAI, but my sense is companies like JCAI are going to create a different level of content that is not going to get caught up in the net of crap.
Yes. And it's funny you mentioned that, Joe. Every spring, Google releases the primary core update for the year. They just rolled out the one for 2024 in March. And its direct point was eliminating the oatmeal. They are actively de-indexing sites that they view as pure spam, material that doesn't add any value, material that maybe in the past would have worked well from an SEO standpoint, but it just is missing the meat. And it's actively happening. Why? You hit the nail on the head. There were a ton of AI tools that came out. People started creating a lot of content very quickly. And that works until everyone starts doing it and then Google takes notice.
Right.
Because the whole premise of Google is people need to find the information they need at that time. And if there's 100 different people all claiming to be doing the same thing, which let's face it, there are companies that are doing the same thing, how does it differentiate them? And when you have AI tools like this with the chatbots and everything, it's really difficult to get that level of distinction and differentiation to make it. Yeah, sure, you could do it if you want to sit there and feed it 186 different prompts. I don't have time to do that. And I don't know many people who do.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting times. And this is a little off track, but I'll use this analogy. If you and your friends were all going to go out for dinner and you said, hey, let's go somewhere cool. Let's go somewhere we haven't been before, or let's go to our favorite restaurant. Chances are it's not going to be a chain restaurant. You're going to go, no, there's this new place we want to go to. And chances are it's not going to be, and nothing against the, I don't mind these restaurants at all, but chances are you're not going to Chili's or Applebee's. You're going to go to this some place that has something different and unique about it. And I think sometimes I've heard the term generica. You drive into a city and you go, there it is. There's the Longhorn and the Holiday Inn Express. Oh, and the Costco's over there. And you go, and by the way, nothing against any of those businesses, but when you want something different, but you don't go, oh, hey, I want to take my spouse on a nice weekend. We'll go to Holiday Inn Express over by Costco. No, we want something different. And I feel like this is, the more generica there is, the more we seek out novel and different and interesting. And it can be even worse sometimes. It does, you go, yeah, it's this crazy place. And you got to go down a dirt road, but I love it. As opposed to the clean, sanitized version of the world that we can have at our fingertip. I think the same thing is happening with content.
Yeah, and sales, we've seen it over the past few years where we're all clamoring for leads. We're all wanting to get leads. We have the whole issue of where does marketing end and lead generation begin? And it's becoming more of a circle. It's becoming more of a flywheel. And the AI is accelerating it. And the only way to get off of that acceleration and be able to actually stand out is to do something different. And that's what we sought out to do.
And basically, when you say different at this 1 minute, different is being a human.
Exactly.
And recognizing what is your actual, what makes you different and better. And it doesn't have to be, your competitive advantage doesn't have to be we're cheaper. And by the way, I've talked to people on my podcast, great companies, the best companies say, we will never be the cheapest ever because we have the best trucks, because we pay our drivers better. We do more scheduled maintenance. We expect the best from ourselves. We give the best service. We're never cheapest. That's a competitive advantage. That's how they're engaging. Others are going to say, we have the human touch. You'll like us better. Yeah. Because we have this, whatever the message is, and then you got to talk to marketers like you. People buy for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes we buy because you go, you know what, that guy's from Russia and so am I. Right? So I'm going to buy from them. Those guys are, they're techies. And I love the way they engage with us.
Definitely.
Whatever makes you different and better, it's more likely to be the human elements now.
Yes. And with JCI, that's part of how it exists. JCAI is not a separate entity from JCI Marketing. We still have some clients that are using both, where they are using the JCAI for maybe their social and blogs are with us, or maybe they're using both and they just need help with guiding it in the right direction. That's why we created it, to make it easier. And who are we kidding? We created it to help make our lives easier too. And it just so happened that it works well for our clients. That's the neat thing about this is we weren't a tech company that went out to create some AI tool for supply chain and logistics. We are a supply chain marketing company that created a AI tool for this industry.
So I know one of the business, your main business, or was your main business, I don't know if it still is, was JCI Marketing, where you help your customers create websites and content and all that. So you're their full service marketing company. And then the newer part of your business, JCAI, can I buy that independent of the rest of your services?
Yes. So we built it as a membership structure where you can either use it just for the social posts by itself or social posts with blogs. The costs vary depending on what you want to do. We have credits to track everything. It is, like I mentioned, based on our own training data first and our experts first, so that we are able to create that content. You can buy it independently. It is a month-to-month subscription. I get annoyed with the annual subscriptions that are pay for a full year. It just annoys me. It is a monthly subscription. Credits do roll over. Our base package, I think, is six credits, six requests. Each request for a social post comes with technically two full different variations, but a longer version and a short version in two different forms. Does include an AI-generated image. If you choose to use it, that is on you. And then if anything ever goes wrong, because it is an AI tool, we are here to pick up the phones, answer the emails, and sometimes it needs that extra level of intervention to get it to where it needs to be. And then we have other clients that are still sticking entirely with the marketing agency side so that we can handle it all cradle to grave, and they don't have to sit there and type in what they want their social posts to be about.
I love it. You're giving me some choices right here. And I think you're going to find a certain number of people who are creating content who want to create that content faster, but they don't want it to be crap. And that's when they would buy this JCI. So JCAI. Now, if somebody was to call you and say, hook me up, I want to buy this JCAI. Is there training required, or how quickly until they're actually using it? Is it hours? Is it days?
It depends. If it is a social media post, it's simply they sign up and our systems are designed to aggregate all the information we need about their business during sign up, as well as the information we are able to pull directly offline from them. If it is someone signing up for a blog side, it does take us about 24 hours to get everything in place, because I like to make sure everything is in just the right tip-top shape. But social post, within 30 minutes. Blog, by the next day. We have a training video we did on it on the website. We also have several different articles explaining how to use it. Very intuitive. The forms are almost identical to our original order form with our clients. Name, email address, what's the post about, what link does it go to? You hit send, you get content.
I love it. I love it. This is a brave new world we're in, Jason.
Oh, definitely. There were times in its development where I sat there looking at it and wondered, am I going to put my agency out of business? It is definitely something that I've questioned at times. Now, fortunately, I know there are many people that they just don't have time to use it. But for those that do, it's a great resource to get them on the right track.
I think, though, a lot of business owners, smart business owners, say, what is it that is going to drive me out of business? And should I get going after that right now? And we all have heard the famous story about the mainframe people who all saw the PC, looked at it and said, that's cool. It's a nice toy, but it's not going to ever replace us. We're the mainframe. Nobody wants one of those. It's a toy. In the beginning, for many years, we used to think they never saw it coming. They saw it coming and ignored it because they didn't see it as a true challenge. AI is going to be that challenge, and it gets better every day. Me, you, all us humans with our puny human brains tell ourselves we're going to get better every day. You might even go in the mirror and tell yourself an affirmation about you getting better today. AI actually is getting better every day. It doesn't take days off.
Yes. In supply chain and logistics, I like to liken it to the traditional supply chain. We had these linear supply chains. There were all sorts of different people involved. We had steam trains. There were blacksmiths. There were people working in these facilities. And then over time, we had more robotic capabilities. We had more automation in it. And there's always a sense that automation is going to replace people. It's not that it replaces people. It's that it shifts the workload somewhere else. And whether that is repairing it or building an AI tool or helping people better use that AI tool. If you click on my profile on LinkedIn, I think you were going to share my links after this. We have the event where we showed how that AI tool works because I wanted to make it to where even if you made a mistake, it wouldn't break. And that's very much what we set out to do.
Now, I did not hear her say it. She didn't say it on my podcast, but somebody quoted my friend Don Salvucci Favier over at Green Screens, who are there using AI at Green Screens for dynamic pricing. Somebody said to me that she said this, that you will not be replaced by AI. You will be replaced by a person using AI.
Yes, exactly. It has the massive potential to help us all.
But eventually we'll say that person using AI eventually will be replaced by AI, but not yet.
So I have something funny to bring into this. AI, in the sense that we know it, when the term was first introduced, was nowhere near the whole idea of generative capabilities now. It was all around business intelligence. Mrs. Fields, this was on a TV show the other day, one of the History Channel ones. They were talking about how Mrs. Fields' brand, she ended up connecting her locations together. And as part of that, started figuring out how to better forecast demand. That gave rise to what was originally known as the first true AI in business, but it was technically a demand forecasting tool. It was retail. I can't remember the name of it. It was like R something O, but she ended up selling it to Burger King. It was the first brand to really use retail business intelligence is what they called it.
Okay, makes sense.
And it was viewed as an artificial intelligence. Now, I don't sit there and look at like Google Analytics and instinctively think that's an AI. This is just the latest iteration of it. And the sooner we are able to embrace it and leverage its capabilities, putting people behind it first, the better off we're going to be as a whole, as a society. And frankly, as content marketers, as salespeople, as these embedded consultants, we're going to really see the winners move forward, and we're going to see those that refused to adapt and use these tools fall behind. It's sad, and that really is the big I don't know what the right phrase is. I think you might have said it. That really is the big bow on top.
Yeah.
Get in there with it or fall behind. That is it's sad and dark, man. But
there are haves and have nots in this business. And the haves are embracing the technologies that are available. And by the way, it's not just that simple, because you have to pick the right technologies, right? You have
to
leverage them to their full capabilities. It's easy to buy technology. Not always. It's easy to get technology and not use it. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, we have a CRM, but we don't use it. We have email marketing tools we don't use. And so just getting the technology, again, that's the human part, is weak sometimes. But people who are leveraging these tools are going to have an advantage. And that's, you should be one of those people.
I think I have a gym membership like that.
I go once a month. They know who I am. So anyway, I'm talking to my friend Jason Jimenez Vanover, and we're talking about AI-driven sales marketing. And I'm going to summarize that. I want you to put a big old bow on this one. Final thoughts. So we talked about content marketing. And we're all anybody who's marketing is starting to use tools like ChatGPT and Google Gemini. And those are great tools, but they lack context. They are not humans. They are using recycled information from the large language model that they came from. There's no human layer. We need the human layer. We need the context layer that says this is being written by a logistics company or by a warehousing company or a transportation company. It needs to have that context. It needs to, again, I'll call it the human layer, to go over the AI layer. And that's what you guys are doing. And in addition to that, you have the traditional JCI marketing for people who still want that full service marketing agency specific to transportation logistics. Put a big old bow on this one, Jason.
All right. So JCI marketing, we're here in San Antonio. We do have our own in-house JCAI that we built to make sure our clients, whether they are new entrants to the market or longtime players, can get in, have a level playing field, be able to use AI without spitting out more oatmeal, and have a trusted friend, me and my team, there in case something goes wrong. Definitely give us a call, email, meeting, or hit us up on LinkedIn. We're almost always around.
I'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile, a link to your website, and any other links you give me, I'll put in the show notes so people can reach out and talk to you. Jason, what conferences will we see you and the JCI marketing team at?
Yeah, so the next big conference we're going to be at, we're not 100% certain if we'll be there just yet, but likely the Transportation Sales and Marketing Association Conference
in June.
Yeah, we should be there pending just figuring out a few things schedule-wise. We'll also be at the Fraxsand Supply Chain Conference in February in Houston or somewhere around Houston.
Wait, what is Fraxsand? That's a new one. You snuck one in on me. Fraxsand.
Okay. I love logistics. I particularly love bulk goods logistics. Fraxsand is an entire subset of logistics where they are moving sand from up Ottawa down to Texas or Permian Basin in Texas to different well sites for use in fracking. And there's a whole other side of the industry to it. It's very exciting. It is all about sand. So it can be a bit different, but that's just a bit of a personal thing that I love dealing with, because I see sand, but I also imagine all of the other commodities, grains, gravel, produce, all of the things that can be involved in that same subset of logistics, if you will.
Cool. So you'll be at that conference. Any others that you'll be at?
Let's see. I think that we're also looking at going to Manifest. I don't have a full detail. My COO, Kevin Jessup, knows a bit more about what conferences are higher on the list right now. We were going to, I think we're also going to be at the Retail Supply Chain Conference and Expo next spring.
Nice.
And I believe we're going to the one in London. We're just trying to get, basically trying to figure out the schedule. We rolling out the JCAI, we didn't think it was going to happen this quickly, and then it did. And so our existing plans shifted. We were hopeful to make it to Manifest, and then that changed. And
Yeah. Maybe you can send JC AI. It just has to take the, it just goes over the internet. So you don't have to feel plane to get there. Not yet.
I don't know how I feel about an AI version of myself talking. There's only room. So like right now my beard is black, but generally I have a bright blue beard. Everyone knows blue is our color. There's only one room for one blue bearded marketer. So I don't know if I'm willing to compete with AI on that side.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
I love what you're doing, Jason. Again, I'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile, a link to your website, and any other links you have. We'll put those in the show notes so people can reach out and talk to you. And thank you so much for taking the time.
Definitely, Joe. Looking forward to it and would love to have some additional conversations outside of the podcast, just as friends, too.
Sounds good.
Thanks, man.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And thank all of you for listening to my podcast. Your support's very much appreciated. Until next time, onward and upward.
You have been listening to the Logistics of Logistics podcast, where we engage with leaders in the logistics and supply chain community. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, hit the like button, and leave us a nice review on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you listen. Also, please check out our videos on YouTube and connect with us on LinkedIn. We're very big on LinkedIn. And you can also reach us on the logisticsoflogistics.com, our website.